On today's episode of Part of My Take, we talk NBA playoffs. LeBron is back in the Eastern Conference Finals. Stanley Cup playoffs. The Caps are back momentarily. Paul Aduka joins the show, who is the man behind the intro that you have heard for the last year and a half. We also have some Dildogate talk, some Matt Harvey talk, a couple drunk ideas, and your Who's Back of the Week. Let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take. It is Monday, May 8th, and I regretfully inform you that LeBron James is still very, very good at basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Cavs continue dominating. The Eastern Conference is so hilarious. I don't want to say that it's a weak conference overall.
It's weak.
It kind of is. It always seems the teams that LeBron gets to play in the first two rounds are always those red teams that we talked about, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Bulls, the Raptors, the Heat,
the Pacers.
Hawks, the Pacers, all these teams that are nothing but red. And they're the easiest teams in the world to sweep through, and he's continued to do that. My favorite LeBron blames thing of the moment is what Hank just told us before we sat down.
Yes.
That was it, DeRozan?
Yeah, yep. DeMar DeRozan after the game.
Yeah, he said that if the Raptors had LeBron on their team, then they would have swept.
You think?
Yeah.
So LeBron does it again. He had in this series 35, 35, 39, 35. Pretty good.
That's not bad.
I'd say that's decent.
If he was on the Raptors, that probably, that 60-70 point swing probably would have swung the series.
I got a little heat back from my take the other day that the Raptors are just a joke of a franchise. I don't mean it in like a mean way. It's just facts are facts. When you think of the Raptors, you think of Vince Carter winning a dunk title and then getting swept and always being. So I had people telling me that they're a LeBron injury away from making it to the finals. Wow, that's great. The Bulls were there for a while too. Mm-hmm. That's a really great place to be. Be like, hey, if the best player in the world gets hurt, we'll lose in the finals in five games.
Well, that's kind of what Hank said last week about the Celtics, that they could beat the Cavs if LeBron James got hurt.
Right.
Which I think is probably true.
True. Or if he switches teams to the Celtics.
Yes, if he puked green and became a Celtic. But imagine LeBron in Canada. Imagine what that would play out like, him being a Canadian. Because you never see, here's a fact, America's best athletes are never Canadians.
True.
So it would be weird to see him get taken away from America like that and just cuck the United States of basketball.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that.
He would be subtweeting a lot. He'd say, you guys need to quit being Canadians and be Canadians instead.
Then you have to hit that translate button on Twitter.
Yeah.
We also had Dwayne Casey, the coach of the Raptors. Little known fact, Dwayne Casey is the coach of the Raptors. How many people think would know that?
I know that right now.
Okay.
Wait. Yeah, I just forgot it.
Yeah, Dwayne Casey said the Raptors are knocking on the door. Mm. I think he got cut off. I think he was going to say knocking on the door of maybe next year losing in five. Kyle Lowry doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're stalking. It sounds like they're knocking on the door and nobody's ever answering.
Right.
Because no one wants to talk to them.
Right. They just go to the door in the middle of the day and they're like, why isn't anyone home?
Yeah.
So that's the Raptors summing up that whole entire series. The next series we have to talk about, Hank. Panic button time, because the Celtics have been bullied for two games straight. Straight up bullied.
No panic button time.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's like that Hawks series a couple years ago.
Of course.
Yeah.
That
Who
one.
Could forget?
Everyone's going to win on their home court. If the Wizards beat, I mean, this is a hot take, but if the Wizards beat the Celtics at home,
then you might be in trouble.
Yeah. That's when the series starts. That's right. Remember, we talked about that last year. The series technically hasn't started unless the road team wins.
Turns out John Wall, very good at basketball. Best player in the series. Isaiah Thomas did have that 53-point game, but he was basically non-existent. He did a reverse this game four. He had a really good start and then just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't work out for the Celtics. And they gave up
30-point runs.
26-0 really run. Either, yeah, 26-0 run.
But it's the NBA. Everybody makes run. That's what
they
say.
Game of runs.
Yeah. I think what's really missing from this playoff, like, there are way too many blowouts. We know that. What's his name? Lil B, the bass god.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to get involved.
Ooh.
He's been uncharacteristically silent this playoff. So, like, I'd like to see him throw a curse on somebody, maybe.
He put, yeah, the curse, the Lil B curse.
I mean, it's a major Lil B move to come out now and say, guess what? I cursed the Raptors. That's why that's why they lost.
Right. Speaking of the Lil B curse, didn't he curse Kevin Durant, right? Which I think is still... That curse has not been lifted.
No. I thought he lifted it.
No, I don't think so. Either way, the only thing you can say about the Warriors Jazz series is Draymond Green got hurt for a second and Kevin Durant fought a mascot. That's been the most compelling storylines from that entire series.
That's it.
So that will tell you that it's 3-0.
Not as good as hockey.
Yeah. Kevin Durant, what an asshole. Yelling at a mascot.
I actually didn't see that. Was that on Friday?
It was on Saturday night.
What happened?
The mascot, the Jazz mascot, whoever, it's like a bear.
A
note?
Even know.
Like,
is what, it like a
no,
music note?
No, it's not a note. I don't understand what it is. He was just standing in the middle of the court, and Kevin Durant, you can see him mouthing, get the fuck off the court. So Kevin Durant, little baby back bitch.
Maybe get fined by Adam Silver.
I don't know.
Can't be cussing in front of the kids in Utah like that.
Nope, you cannot.
And their seven wives are going to write letters to the FCC.
We're taping this in the middle of the Rockets-Spurs series, which that is our only hope. Well, actually, the Celtics-Wizards is going to be a good series because that probably could go 6-7. The Rockets-Spurs, it will go 6 or 7. It will go 7. I'm going to say it right now. It's going to go 7 because Hank's whole theory of teams only winning at home. The Spurs and the Rockets, though, that is our one hope for like a really compelling Kawhi-James Harden duel in a game set.
A lot of Texan-on-Texan violence going on there.
LaMarcus Aldridge decided to stop being a P and play.
Uh-huh. And did you see that article about how maybe the Spurs are cheating because they're drinking a lot of juice?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that? So that's their secret. They've got the Juicero. Hmm. That was real hot in the streets last week, that Silicon Valley invention.
They won't talk about it, though, right?
No.
They just said it's just a juice.
Or take pictures.
Very tight lip. No pictures allowed. No press allowed in the juice room.
And Tim Duncan did play for like 25 years, didn't he?
He did. He played. And Manu, he's really extended his career, hasn't he?
Hmm. And like 5 years. Tony Parker just had an injury that none of us even knew existed. Huh.
Huh.
When you start injuring your muscles that rip off your bones. Huh.
Very interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm.
Hmm. Hank, I have a quick question before we get to Stanley Cup playoffs. When was the last time you talked to your mom?
Like a week ago.
Oh, because Mother's Day is coming up. Ooh. And you need to get her some flowers with 1-800-FLOWERS. There's no better feeling than making your mom proud, whether it was on the sports field, in the classroom, probably not for Hank, or conquering some other achievement. Mom's reaction was always praise. That was mean to me. Enjoy that feeling again by making her smile with 1-800-FLOWERS.com. Right now, 1-800-FLOWERS is giving the listeners an exclusive 24 for 24. 24 multicolored roses for $24. That's only $1 per rose. Simply pick your delivery date and let 1-800-FLOWERS handle the rest. With a bright and beautiful mix of premium roses and a rainbow of colors, these blooms are guaranteed to show mom just how much she's loved. 24 multicolored roses for only $24 is an amazing offer, but it expires on Friday. To order the 24 stunning multicolored roses for only $24, go to 1-800-FLOWERS.com, click the radio icon, and enter code PMT. That's 1-800-FLOWERS.com, code PMT. Hurry, offer ends Friday. Do it right now. Come on, man. We're giving you guys a deal. Giving you guys a great deal.
We'll wait for you.
Yeah, go ahead. You can click it, and then you order, and mom's happy.
Okay, good job.
My mom always said, your grades don't matter as long as you try.
Hank, I want to apologize. Really nice, that was a low blow to you, and I want to say to your face, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Wow. See how easy that was?
Like that, yeah.
I'm a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley Cup playoffs, the Capitals are back.
Full confidence.
For a minute?
Fully confident. And you know what? You called it. Last week, you said this is what happened because you are a veteran of teams that break your heart.
Yeah.
And it's happening to me right now, and I'm seeing it happen. And I'm totally acknowledging what's going on. The Caps are probably going to win on Monday night, tonight.
Of course.
And then they're going to lose on Wednesday night in DC.
In a brutal fashion.
But I've still got that hope. So I sat down and I made a power ranking. A quick power ranking of the four ways that the Caps are going to lose.
Okay.
In terms of like number one is the way I would prefer. I would love a blowout tomorrow night or tonight. I would love a blowout in Monday night's
game.
So
this is all just assuming you're not even entertaining the thought that the Capitals are going to win this series.
No.
Okay. Blowout Monday night.
Blowout
that's
tonight.
Fair. Yep.
Blowout in game seven because that way at least I get another day to like celebrate still being alive.
So you want the painless. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And then overtime tomorrow and then overtime on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Those are my rankings.
The overtime playoff loss is actually, I mean, the shock of it is so, like, it's so stunning.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't even have like a moment to really like let it all. It's one of those, the overtime playoff hockey loss for a series is one of those ones that hits like the day after. You know what I mean? It's like you're so spent.
It's almost.
I remember the Western Conference Finals against the Kings when they won when Game 7 overtime, mm-hmm. and I was just so exhausted. Then the next day you're like, fuck.
Well, yeah, it's because of the stages of grief, right? If you're watching a game that's a blowout, you have three periods to process your own death.
Right.
If it happens in overtime, you're alive, boom.
Boom.
You're flat
sniper.
Dead.
Right.
Yes, exactly. So I would prefer a blowout on Monday night. If it's got to happen, just bludgeon me. Because if they win on Monday,
You're coming in here with your chest puffed out.
I'm going to look like
strutting.
I'm going to look like
styling,
LeVar Ball walking into the First Take
Ric
studio
Flair.
Coming in here.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have to go down to D.C. and I'm going to have to see it happen to me in person.
Yes.
And then that'll be a complete nightmare. And Sidney Crosby, make no mistake about it, is going to be heavily involved in the destruction of the Capitals.
Yeah, he'll probably flop, get a crucial penalty, score the game-winning goal.
With his stupid mustache.
Yes.
You know what really irks me about Sidney Crosby?
Tell me.
I figured it out more this postseason. His red lips. It looks like he's got a Kool-Aid stain on his lips.
This is when hate gets to hate level.
All
when
day.
You just start picking apart like little things that guys can't change about their body.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it, but he's going to kill us, so that's okay.
He also gets that rosy cheek thing, also awful.
Might have rosacea. Might want to have that looked at. Maybe might want to sit out tonight's game.
Sit a couple games out. We also have, for the 50, I regretfully inform all of our listeners, and this is obviously sarcasm because I'm very happy, for the 50th straight year, the St. Louis Blues are not going to win the Stanley Cup.
That's a shame.
So
it
wasn't
like
their year.
It looks like it was the year.
It looked like their year. And then finally, one of the best series that's going on out west that no one's talking about, a little East Coast bias probably, the Oilers and the Ducks. And when I say East Coast bias, I mean it's just because it's a team in Anaheim, California, so no one will ever give a fuck about the Ducks.
Has there ever been any... What was the last huge oil spill to take place off the coast of California?
Exon Valdez.
No, that was up in Alaska, Prudhoe Bay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. There was some out there.
The coast of
Louisiana.
They're always, there you go. Deepwater Horizon, right off the coast of San Jose, happening all over again down in Anaheim.
The best part about an oil spill is they just show a couple like ducks covered in oil, and then everyone feels really bad, and then they get in their car and they're like, oh, who cares?
How much money does it take to clean a duck? I would do that for free.
A lot. I've watched the whole thing about it. Yeah, you got to... It's a lot. And then they clean the duck and then they let it back out and it just jumps right back in the oil and dies.
Wait, don't ducks have oil on their feathers? Isn't that why they
it's
don't get
slick.
Wet?
Yeah, it's a little slick.
Huh.
But too much oil.
Interesting.
All right. And then let's go to our Who's Back of the Week. Let's say it's John Daly's Who's Back of the Week because, Hank, you can start. It's a big one. It's a huge one.
My Who's Back of the Week was John Daly this week. He got his first PGA Tour win since 2004.
How many divorces has he had since then?
Three.
That's not a good ratio.
Well, maybe he's had three divorces total. It might not be. Since
it might not all be in those last years.
They
yeah.
keep divorcing him because he doesn't win.
Yeah.
So now he's going to be on a hot streak with wife number four or whatever.
It's so funny that John Daly is obviously like all-time legend, but the fact that he still plays in these tournaments and hasn't won one in that long. I mean, you almost don't want to win one if you're John Daly, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it changes. It's like the Cubs not winning World Series. Like, you don't want to see him win.
Like, the fact that you kept on getting invited to these tournaments, even though you suck so bad, that's its own – that probably gets you an extra, 12-pack of wings at Hooters.
My favorite take is when people say, like, oh, what a shame John Daly's career. He really could have had it all. Yeah. Like, John Daly has had it all.
Yeah.
Like, his career – actually has been awesome. And if you think otherwise, then you're just a hater.
Yes, I agree. What do you have?
My Who's Back of the Week is bees.
Oh.
Yeah, bees are back, folks.
They're dying at an alarming rate.
Not anymore.
Oh.
Because they showed up at the Royals ballpark over the weekend. They caused a little delay. And bees are good for about 2 to 3 baseball delays per summer.
Yes.
I don't know what it is about a ballpark that attracts swarms of bees, but it happens all the time, and it's great. And people keep saying that they're dying at an alarming rate, like you did. But I don't think that they are. I think I'm woke on the whole bee thing, the whole bee scare of 2016. They say that like bees are the only thing that pollinate.
I think is the bees dying at an alarming rate, was that like a Ricky Bobby line or something? Because I think that's why people say it. I think it was some Will Ferrell movie, and that's usually like – 90% of the population isn't funny, but they quote Will Ferrell movies to make themselves feel funny.
They know the exact right time at a party to use an Anchorman reference. Right. Well, that escalated quickly.
Right, exactly, exactly. Uh-huh. So I think that's where that comes from.
I think it came from the fact that there were like 5 dozen newspaper headlines over the past 5 years that said bees are dying at an alarming rate.
Right.
But I think science has reached a point where we can find an insect that isn't like a flying death machine with a stinger that can pollinate everything out
that
there.
That kills itself. They're suicide bombers.
That's right.
Bees were the original suicide bombers.
Very problematic. Also problematic about bees, if you want to move the colony, you have to capture the queen.
Yes.
So that's problematic too.
True. All right. My who's back. I have a few. The first one is people who want to shame us for enjoying horse racing. So I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, but horse racing is in fact bad. They're whipping the horses. They mistreat the horses, even though these horses live like the best lives of all time. I mean, they did a little thing on American Pharoah. He has sex twice a day, every day, and gets paid like $200,000 for it.
That actually sounds exhausting.
Nah, they did this whole thing. It sounded pretty cool. But people trying to shame us for liking horse racing, even though all horse racing does for me and you and Hank lose us money.
Yeah.
But it was still fun.
I lost a lot of money at the Derby.
I did too.
I bet on... Here's how dumb I am. I bet on the blind horse, Patch.
Mm-hmm.
I also bet on a horse called Thundersnow, just because... I mean,
did you not listen to Randy Moss?
I did.
You literally said, "Don't bet that
horse." I know, and this is where I'm putting my hand up, and I'm saying, "I'm the guy that hears a horse whose name sounds like an AC/DC song," and I'm like, "I got to fucking bet on that horse,
yes,
because I think that horse rocks."
Yeah, that horse was not good.
It kind of, it did rock. It like bucked out of the gate after about 20 yards. Mm-hmm.
He didn't want anything to do with the Kentucky Derby.
He did not finish.
But
unlike
yeah.
American Pharoah, who yes. finishes twice a day.
I love the Kentucky Derby. I don't care. Keep trying to shame me. PETA people. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lose my money. I'm going to have fun. And I'll do it all again. Preakness. And we'll have Randy Moss back because you know what? He gave us great tips that none of us listened to.
Mm-hmm. Here's what horse racing should do is just donate like 0.05% of all the people who lost money. Donate their money to like PETA. And be like, hey, guess what? We're giving back to the community.
Yeah, we're giving back. They do give back. Glue. People need glue.
Mm-hmm.
Glue guys. The horses were the original glue guys.
That's true.
I also have who's back, people falling for stupid commercials. We talked about this before the show, the Volkswagen commercial where that stupid family drives their old grandmother across the country because she wants to put Pop-Pop's ashes into the Pacific Ocean.
Mm.
Fuck that commercial. Fuck those people. They're all actors, so don't get upset here. But we basically figured it out. Volkswagen, after maybe some history with the Nazis, the whole emission thing where they cheated on their emissions.
They dumped like coal into the world's oceans, basically.
So they're like, well, we'll just put like a really sappy story where a bunch of kids cry and an old grandmother, and we'll put some Simon and Garfunkel behind it, and everyone will say, oh my God, Volkswagen, they're so nice.
Mm-hmm. They are nice. Those people,
don't fall for it.
Those people probably weren't even actors.
Fuck that commercial.
That was probably a true story.
God damn it.
It's a documentary.
I know it says probably more about me that I'm sitting and watching like all these playoff games, and every time that commercial comes, I'm like, "Fuck these people, fuck this old grandmother." But guess what? That's who. Don't get caught by the big corporations. And then finally, my last who's back is Love, because Carmelo Anthony. I don't know if you saw, but Lala posted an Instagram with her son and was like, "My son has my whole heart, like everything in my being." And Carmelo commented on it and said, "Love y'all." So Love is back.
He's getting over it.
Yeah. Love y'all, not enough to impregnate a stripper, but enough to comment on an Instagram.
If there's one thing I know about relationships is that if you get out of a really messy public one, the best way to get the girl back is to start just commenting on all of her social media posts.
Yes,
that's usually a good way to get back in.
And by the way, Carmelo got, as the kids say, dragged across the internet for that one.
For saying love y'all?
Yeah, because people are like, damn, he's pathetic.
You should just hit it with a heart and go about your way.
Carmelo, if you're listening to this podcast, which we know you are, I have a little tip for you on how to get Lala back. Buy a Lisa mattress. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Lisa Mattress. You will sleep better. You know what I'm saying? You're going to sleep better with Lala.
Both of you will sleep better.
Yes. No one wants to spend hours visiting those awkward showrooms where you're forced to spend thousands of dollars on subpar mattresses. Lisa has changed the game, so you can now enjoy the comfort of a luxury mattress at a fraction of the price. Lisa mattresses start at just $525. It is quickly and conveniently ordered online, made to order, and shipped compressed in a box to your door within days. Unboxing the mattresses, which is half the fun, took me less than 5 minutes. Not so sure about ordering online? Lisa provides a 100-night risk-free trial along with free shipping so that you can properly try out the mattress in the comfort of your own home. With over 10,000 five-star customer reviews, you can trust their mattress is the right pick. So go to Lisa.com right now, Lisa.com/barstool. That's Lisa.com/barstool today to receive an exclusive $75 off the Lisa mattress. Lisa.com/barstool gets $75 off. By the way, we're fighting a fly in this studio.
We're not fighting a fly. This is like, I think it's when Iron Man got shrunk down.
Yes.
I think that's what's going on, and there are like three of them, and I'm pretty sure they're mosquitoes.
I've killed it, and you know what? I'm going to get blamed for the mosquito problem in the office because I have
bags of nectar hanging around
that
you like to sip off of. Yeah.
That's growing, but I want it to be known for all the award-winning listeners. We're playing, not hurt, not injured, but against a fucking huge fly.
Radio. It looks like a war plane.
Where the fuck did that fucker go?
Yeah, it's got like a sword hanging from its nose.
All right, we're going to continue, but that fly, we're going to stop next time the fly comes, okay? All right, let's do our interview with Paula Duca, the person you hear at the beginning of every show. Paula Duca has been on every single episode of Part of My Take, mm-hmm. but this is the first time we've interviewed him.
Some people freaked out when we changed the intro, mm-hmm. and they're like, why did you get rid of LaDuca, and why is it now like Hank reading it? Well, guess what? It's not. It's LaDuca the whole time, just we got him a better microphone.
Yes. So here is Paula Duca. We now welcome on, he's actually been on every single episode of Part of My Take. He's the only one besides PFD and I who've been on every single episode. It's the voice you hear at the beginning, four-time Major League Baseball All-Star and friend of the program, Paula Duca. Paul, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure to be here at the headquarters. Pleasure to be on Part of My Take, seriously.
Yeah. People don't realize that you are the one that announces this and you do the bar stool sports. I always wanted to know, like, did Hank give you any creative direction when you were recording that, or was that just you?
No, it was a one-take job. I remember a Big Cat, when he hit me up, asked if it, you know, I wanted you to do a couple different things. So I remember you laid out, like, maybe three or four things that I did and just threw them at Hank. And to be honest with you, I think I recorded it on my phone and then sent it.
Yes,
if I'm not mistaken, right?
That was back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, no, it was. It was crazy. It was like the first, you know, when Pardon My Take was just a little glimmer in our eyes. Mm-hmm. And now we're here. And like I said, a lot of people don't realize that you've been the voice on the show to greet them.
I had some people hit me up here and there on, like, you know, the social media. It's like, is that you?
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't really respond.
Nobody ever offered to, like, pay you royalties or anything.
No,
right?
No.
Okay,
no residuals.
We probably got to pay Eddie Grant first.
Yeah.
Who we just stolen his song.
We'll bleep that
out. All right. Paul, you are a friend of the program. You've been a longtime friend of the Barstool program. We've known each other for a few years now. So the interesting thing with you is because you're a friend, I think people, like, almost forget that you were a really good baseball player. Do you think that happens around these offices?
I don't think so.
I mean, we bust balls, and, like, you look like a little. I mean, I could take you right now and fight.
How much do you weigh now?
Yeah, I'm about 185, 190. Here's the issue: when I played, when I wasn't hurt, I'm the same weight. I think just a lot of people saw me with gear on,
mm-hmm.
And then associate, he was a lot bigger when he played, so that's why he hits home runs and this and that.
Well, he didn't hit that many home runs.
Yeah. I had 25 one year.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, come on, you weren't a home run hitter.
No, I was not. I was a number two hole hitter.
I always assume that catchers and umpires and, to a certain extent, like, third base coaches are always fat because they always wear all that extra gear on them. Bullpen catchers especially. Did you find that?
Well, here's the thing. I remember one year when I came in 01, I came in, or 2000, I came in very good shape, and they wanted me to actually to put on weight because, you know, they want you to be around 10 to 12, percentage body fat, but they want the catchers to be a little bit more because you just lose weight. I remember one year I came into spring training at 200, and I caught in Florida, and I ended up at, like, 172 at the end of the year. It's just impossible to keep on weight.
Even eating all you can eat?
And the nutrition part of it's so hard to do.
Right.
I mean, you know a lot of guys. I mean, it's a 7-Eleven in every clubhouse.
Right.
So that, I mean, there's just Snickers, M&Ms, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Chaw.
It's changed. It's changed big time. And the chaw went away.
Yeah.
It went away right before I got there. So I was, you know, my first couple years in the big leagues were 98, 99, where I wasn't playing every day, but they had just started taking where the clubhouse guys could pass you Copenhagen, could pass you Chaw, all you want. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, half of us did, and then the coffee was loaded with greenies in it. And
what was that like? What was greenie coffee? I wish we had that at Barstool. So what did that make you feel like?
To me, if you ask guys in that era or ask guys now, would they rather have steroids or greenies, I guarantee you it would be 80-20 greenies.
So Hank is looking at me with a sideways look, so that means that probably some of our listeners don't know what this is either, which is crazy because this was, you know, growing up in the 90s and you hear about what guys did in clubhouses, the greenies were part of the game. Mm-hmm. It's basically speed. They'd put speed in the coffee.
So do you know how a greenie was originated, right?
No, no.
Well, rumor is it, and I'm not going to put that, but it was given to the fighter pilots to stay awake.
Yeah.
And rumor is it that Ted Williams brought them back.
Oh, that's okay. Interesting. So it's basically Adderall, Hank, and they would just put, there'd be two pots of coffee, okay. One without, one with, and you'd be like, do I want the, you know, the diesel or the unleaded? Maybe I made that up.
I'm going to take this back even further than Ted Williams because I think I know where this came from. So Hitler invented speed. Back in like the 1930s, the Nazis did. It was called Pervitin. And then the U.S. troops saw that their tanks were able to drive for like 4 days nonstop across France. And they're like, holy shit, we got to get what these guys are taking. Mm-hmm. So then the Royal Air Force and the U.S. came up with their own version of speed. Ted Williams got his hands on that. Ted Williams brought it back. So Hitler invented baseball.
Mm. Well, not baseball because baseball was invented before Hitler.
He invented good baseball players.
Yeah,
The thing about
was a loose one, but
he started the steroid era.
He started the steroid era.
How come we don't blame him?
Hitler invented PEDs in sports.
I'm going to say this. Let's keep Hitler out of the Hall of Fame.
Okay. Asterix. So what was it like playing on those? Because I always, you know.
The swastika was actually kind of an asterix if you think about it.
It was something that you sort of, when I started playing every day, I would take one greenie. Or a half a greenie, it depended now.
Mm-hmm.
You build up tolerance for everything. Before batting practice or before when I got there at 2. So I'd get there at 2 o'clock, get my knees warmed up. And the greenie would help sort of get you going a little bit. Flush you out.
Right.
Tiny bit. Make sure you drink a lot of water. You do it right. And then it sort of got your blood going a little bit. And if you were good to go that night, you were good to go. You didn't need another one. If you needed another one... I knew guys that needed a bunch, but you're right. What they would do is, and I got a crazy story, but what they would do is they would take a sanitary sock, a brand new one, and they would strain it through. So you'd have one set of coffee that had the greenies loaded in it, and what the greenies would do, you could open them up, and you're right. They're liquid cocaine.
Right.
I mean, bottom line. I mean, and you can go on. Before then, mini thins would have got the job done. 222s, if some of you out there in the Canadian market remember those, because they had codeine in them.
Right.
Listen, this isn't Nolan Ryan take the 2 Advil, bro.
Right.
That shit didn't work. So, you know, one day, I'll never forget, I'm sitting in the dugout. So you had the loaded coffee and the regular coffee. Now, the loaded coffee, bro, you needed a shot, if that.
Right.
Okay. The other coffee was a regular coffee where they maybe throw one in there. It was like a half a cup. You'd be good to go for a while.
Right.
So
I like how the unloaded coffee
still had methamphetamines.
Yeah, right. So now we're down in the dugout, and a well-known pitcher comes running down. It's like, LeDuc, something's going on. I'm like, what do you mean? An old Dodger Stadium, still to this day, it's a pretty good walk down the runway to go down. So it's a little ways. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, dude, security guard is just beat red. So I run up there, and me and him run up there. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, I don't know, man, but that coffee right there, I drank a full cup.
Oh, shit.
And literally, dude, he drank a full cup of the loaded coffee. I thought this guy, he was a goner.
Did he go to the hospital or what?
Yeah, they had to take him to the hospital.
Could you imagine if a cop rolled him out?
I remember I was literally had my shin guards on and I was looking up at the TV because I got to go out and catch the next inning.
Right.
So the point to, hey, we need to call the paramedics right now. This is no joke. Because when you go to a stadium, you got the first aid where they can get a Band-Aid and some. This guy needs paramedics. You need to get this guy upstairs because now he's in the clubhouse. He needs to get to the elevator to the parking lot and you need to get him out of here. And luckily, it was like, you know, the second or third inning because he drank the cup before and he ended up being okay. But he had said that, like, even the doctor was asking him what he took because they had to, you know, give him some muscle relaxers just to get him to sleep that night.
Right. Mm-hmm. Jesus. So what year did they take that away? What year did they take the greenies away?
They took it the same way when they started. It had to be pretty early because I remember they started having guys, because a lot of that stuff was getting added into stuff at GNC and to nutrition places. So you had to ship whatever your workout stuff was to MLB, and they basically had to approve it unless it was already MLB approved, basically. So
Wow. So when they did take it out of the game in the clubhouse, was it like a noticeable, were people freaking out?
I tell you what, a lot of guys started going for that Adderall prescription, did they not?
Right.
You're trying to tell me that many dudes got an attention problem and they can hit a fastball at 95?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, out of nowhere.
Yeah, right. That always blew my mind. Like, hey, what do you do for a living? I hit 100-mile-an-hour fastball. So you have trouble paying attention? Yeah.
I mean, it's a good point.
So you got into baseball in what year? In Major League Baseball, was that 93?
In 93, I signed, yeah, out of college. And then I got a couple. I didn't get a couple. I would, like, September call-up, 98. In 99, I made the team, got hurt, 2000 up and down, and 2001, my first full year.
So, yeah, so before you actually made it to the big leagues for good, you were down in Australia for a while, right?
Yeah, actually.
What's it like playing baseball in Australia?
It was actually one of the great experience. I played there in 1994. What they had is they had like 10 teams, and they would send like four guys from each team to the affiliates. It was crazy, bro. You'd play on the weekends, Saturday, Sunday. And you would play with wood. The Australian guys would play what they'd call aluminum.
Aluminium.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very strong material.
And here's these dudes. Like, one dude's a mechanic. One dude's selling insurance. One dude's a lawyer, and he's rolling up. And these dudes are raking. They can hit. Mm-hmm. And this was probably, that was 1994. This was before they started signing a lot of Australian guys.
Right.
Some of these guys are gonna kill somebody. I don't know if a lot of people remember a guy named Steve Jeltz. He played for the Phillies way back when, married a girl in Australia, had an Australian citizenship, and he was playing for one of those teams, and like, he was like Jose Canseco. Hitting with aluminum.
Jesus Christ.
So it was crazy, but it was a great, great experience. I got to experience that culture. Seriously, some of the nicest people in the world. All they want to do is drink beer and have a good time and gamble. Mm-hmm. There's literally, by the way, they call them TABs. This be heaven for you, big cat. They're like fucking 7-Elevens. You can bet on dogs, horses,
love it.
Cricket, name it. The dogs jump over hurdles. It's just insanity. That's, and they're like 7-Elevens.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So you were in the minors for like 7-8 years. Did you ever at any point like, I got to give up? Like, because that's usually right around where guys are like, you know what? I can't do this forever. You know, I have to give up.
Yeah, there was one really major moment in my life. I remember I was just 2000. I was up and down 98, 99, and then they trade Piazza.
Mm-hmm.
And I never forget, I got a phone call from my father. It's like, oh my God, they traded Mike, the whole nine yards. And so then I call my agent. It had to be at 10 at night. I was in Albuquerque. And he's like, well, we'll see what happens. Da, da, da. And then literally I'm sitting up, can't sleep. And then the Midnight Sports Center has, they signed Charles Johnson, or they traded for Charles Johnson. I went back to bed. I literally went back to bed. So fast forward maybe a couple months, somewhere in that area, I'm distraught. I mean, I'm sick and tired. I'm literally hitting like 360 down in AAA, and there's just nowhere to go. So I get a call from my agent, and he's like, dude, trade's gone down. You cannot mention anything, but you're going to the Angels. At that time, the Dodgers needed a left-handed pitcher. Mike Socia was my mentor, and he had just got basically the job with the Angels. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is what I've wanted. And it was supposed to be for Kent Merker. And a lot of people forget me. The night Kent Merker had an aneurysm and went down on the mound. I don't know if you guys ever remember that.
Yeah, I do.
I was supposed to get traded for him like three nights earlier.
Jeez.
Oh, wow.
And obviously the trade got nixed.
Right.
And it's just crazy how things circle. 2000, they fired Davey Johnson. They fired him in 99. They had Bill Russell. Bill Russell was my first manager. They were just going through. And then Jim Tracy got the job in 2001.
But that was like, with all those things happening in a row, you're like, this might just not be for me.
I was at a Denny's.
Right.
And I was just ready to hang him up. And I'll never forget, my dad looks at me and goes, you want to wait tables? You know, what's your really true reality? And you know, somebody always asks you that question, what would you be doing if you weren't playing baseball? And everybody has that fucking answer. You don't have the answer.
Yeah, right.
You do not have the answer till you have another job. And who has another job that's hitting baseballs for a living? Nobody. So it tested me a little bit. My dad gave me a reality check, and he was never that father that was always on me, never sort of left me alone, which is the best father to have when you're going through a lot of that kind of shit. So, yeah, when he said that to me, it sort of resonated. So he in his last words to me is, you need to start taking the approach that they need to rip the shirt off your back, because just no one's going to respect you anyway because of your size and this and that until you start shoving it up their ass.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you were part of a great tradition of Italian catchers on the Dodgers. They're like the Patriots. They always have left-footed punters. The Dodgers have Italian catchers. And you were very close, I assume, with Tommy Lasorda. Do you have any good Lasorda stories for us?
Lasorda, man, he was raw. He was pretty raw. He used to, one thing I always liked about Tommy, in spring training, he used to always have everybody stand up and tell a joke, a lot of the new guys. And then I ended up being the resident joke guy, and he used to mess around all the time with guys. But he used to go through the lines of like chicken salad and egg salad and stick his finger in there and lick his finger in there. And be like, hey, how's this egg salad, Duca? I'd be like, oh, man.
Come on.
He used to do it on purpose to guys all the time. Yeah, but one of the, yeah, he was just like, him and Roger McDowell used to go back and forth all the time. And Lasorda, like, Roger McDowell almost made Lasorda throw up one day because they were going back and forth and having this thing going on. So Lasorda used to sweep his hand through the stuff all the time, tuna and the egg salad, and Roger McDowell would come back. So then we're walking out one day, and Lasorda spits this biggest loogie on the side of this garbage can that's like obviously lined with brand, it just got changed, lined with brand new white lining, and friggin' Roger McDowell goes over there with his finger, takes it, and licks up the loogie. And Lasorda got down on two knees. I threw up in the corner. Lasorda got down on two knees. Dude. And this is the same Roger McDowell that he used to, I think he did in every ballpark.
Yeah.
Early BP, he used to shag jog strap only. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, sick, my God. Dude.
Tommy Lasorda running his fingers through the egg salad is such a good visual. do you, if you had any regrets in your career, what would be like the biggest one?
Well, you mean,
I have one for you, but go ahead, you go first.
There's a couple of regrets. I mean, I never have that many regrets because I got to play at the highest level. You know, obviously, getting named on the Mitchell Report is my highest point in my life. It was something I did when I was young. It was something I did. And I don't think it made me the baseball player that I was.
How prevalent was it? Because I've always taken the stance that it was so commonplace that to blame any guys for doing, like, if you're sitting in the minor leagues and you're like, everyone around me keeps getting promoted and they're using, why wouldn't I use too? And if I could use some HGH and set my family up for life, why wouldn't I do it? Like, that's a no-brainer in my mind. I think people have this revisionist history where they're all, like, on a moral high ground. It's like, yeah. You, if you were in that spot, you'd do the exact same thing.
We use steroids and we're bloggers.
Right.
So it has no effect on our job performance. So I can see why.
But, like,
you would
how
do
prevalent
it.
Was everyone? Like, was
well,
it
here's
just
the thing, though. If HGH was around back then or more prevalent, like you're saying, it would have been, none of us would have got taken down because we'd all would have used that instead.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's overblown. It's deeply overblown because I had a locker sit next to Sean Green and I watched him hit 49 home runs drinking coffee and doing yoga, bro. That guy took nothing.
Right.
Took nothing. So, and I hate when they lump guys like him in. You know, they lump guys like, you know, Eric Karros, who was my locker mate, who sort of carried me, hit 30.
Great flow.
He's still got the best hair in the game.
Yes.
And EK was my mentor. He sat right next to me, told me, shut up, go, no. That, I mean, he basically just steered me. He was my jockey. He really was. So, and you're right. Sometimes guys got to do what they got to do. In 1998, I walked out of the clubhouse in AAA, and my manager told me, you need to get stronger. That was enough for me.
Right.
But did I make the team in 99? No, I got injured. And then I got prescribed it, and then I went forward with it. But, you know, I never played a major league season on it. And then after I had all the injuries, it just sort of went away. I mean, you know, I think the problem that people have with it is does it improve you? Yes, 100%. But it's more in the head than anything, I think.
Right.
And it causes injuries towards the end of your career because you're building muscle mass where your ligaments aren't strong enough to build to hold the muscle.
That's why I keep injuring my foot. Yeah. I'm too strong.
So it was prevalent, yes. A lot of guys used it. My issue that I have is everybody bags on like guys like Bonds and this and that. I don't give a fuck, dude. The guy hit 800 home runs. I'd say 300 are against guys that use steroids.
Right. That's right. Yeah, people don't talk as much about the pitchers that were using it because I guess not as many high-profile people got caught.
Barry Bonds was a pretty unbelievable player before he was, you know, blew up too. I mean, he.
But the problem is, you have guys that used it year to year to year to year, and then you have guys that are getting lumped in somewhat. I mean, you know, you got to look at guys' physiques and the way they moved forward and whatever. So, you know. There's a lot of guys out there where they're suspect. There's guys that just got inducted in the Hall of Fame. You got to be kidding me that we're in that era. And right. You got to be kidding me they never took greenies. You got to be kidding me.
Right.
I mean, and I'm not the guy that's going to mention names ever, but there's got to be a double standard. Barry Bonds is not, it's not even remotely close. Remotely close is the best player that ever stepped foot in a box. Mm-hmm. That guy, when the ball was an inch outside, he knew it. And he would tell the umpire, man, that's not a strike, man. And I watched the guy one day go 1-for-1 with 4 walks and swing the bat one time and it was a homer.
Right.
That shit doesn't happen. I don't care. Steroids doesn't give you Superman eyes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Barry Bonds is probably the best person at his job. Like, better than any other American has ever been at their job.
But the thing you have is I watched that guy's work ethic. He used to sit in the batting cage and have a guy 20 feet from him throw 100 miles an hour. And I asked him, why do you do that? He's like, because you need to learn your swing without the thought process. And it made a ton of sense to me is that young kids go in the batting cage, I need to do this, that. When a guy's throwing 100 zillion miles an hour in front of your face, you have no time to think of that.
Right.
So to me, Barry conquered that mentally more than any guy I ever played against.
All right, you ready for my your biggest regret? What your answer should be to that?
Yes,
is wearing a soul patch. Yeah, that you rocked a soul patch.
Okay,
it was pretty. If you look on the internet, it's like Paul Aduka soul patch. Yeesh.
Yeah. Okay. Here's you want to know the reason why behind it.
Okay. You better not say like so. You know your best friend died and he has
No. I had like this. Pull it up. There's a picture of me. There's a picture.
He's got a soul patch, like hardcore
there's
soul patch.
There's a picture of me with like
the Friends
this,
era. And like,
there's,
yeah.
there's a picture of me with like a really bad goatee. Okay.
Look at this one. Bad radio. Oh,
no, that's
not
even me.
Him. That's not him.
He pulled up freaking Daughtry.
Like
would you pull
like
up Daughtry?
Male porn star.
I was gonna say he looked like a male porn star in this one.
So I caught on fire with the soul patch, and that's why I kept it. I swear
that's
to God.
That's fantastic.
It's a good luck soul patch.
So you're like, I have to keep doing it?
Yeah, I had to keep it.
Because you know it's an awful look, awful. No matter what era. I don't care. You can't be like, hey, those were the times. The soul patch was always bad.
No, it was awful. There's also a picture where I literally got maybe like 3 strands of hair just from the bottom of my chin. I pulled that off for like a good year.
What was it like the day that you went? Did you go 6-for-6?
Yes.
6-for-6. What? I mean, when you walked off the field on that day, were you just like, I'll never have a day like I had when I went 6-for-6.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first time that I actually got off a baseball field. I'm like, wow, I'm going to stick. I'm actually going to be here. It was my first full season. And then I completely fucked it up. I went and, it's two-sided now, I guess, that I'm divorced. But I said, some guy asked me what happened. I'm like, I ate Cocoa Crisp in the morning. It was a day game, and then he goes, what else? I'm like, well, my wife's out of town, so I guess when she's out of town, I can hit.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Wow.
Did you say that out loud?
Jimbo.
What? It got printed. Wife's away, LaDuca will play.
Oh, my God.
I got absolutely shredded by my wife. She wanted to kill me.
Yeah, I can see. Oh, yeah. Wow. That's quite a soul patch. I'm just looking at it right now.
I got a box of 40 Cocoa Crisp.
There you go.
I went through them.
I just saw the strip. I saw the chin strap, too. That was a really
beautiful.
Bad look. You had some bad facial hair.
It's sexy.
So then after baseball, you got into, well, obviously you've been into horse racing for a while. That's not something that you just like decide to get into. What was that? Did you grow up around it or what?
Grew up around horses. My dad owned them. I actually I used to ride them when I was a kid. I owned them. Probably more of my passion. I was never that guy that was into the fancy cars, the watches, the chains, anything like that. I was into horses. And so got into it and then just enjoyed it ever since I was a little kid. And then when I wanted to get back into doing something after baseball, the guy I train horses with works at the network that I work at now. And he's 9 years later, I'm still there. And I enjoy it. You get to travel a little bit. And I thought I was going to be a jockey at one time in my life, my freshman year in high school, and I was like about 5'1". But then my growth spurt all the way to 5'8" right now.
Oh, sweet. Big boy. Are you up or down betting on horses in your life?
You're down. It's, yeah. That's honestly, who's really who's up on betting?
Okay. I'm happy that you answered that.
There's a couple guys. Honestly. There's a couple guys. To me, horse racing has the best odds.
Yeah. No, it's, it. Listen.
But if you got to concentrate on one track.
Right. You have to concentrate on one track, and horse racing, the allure of horse racing, like you can, you know, you can bet a basketball game for a few hundred bucks, whatever. If you hit a trifecta at a horse race and it's good odds, that's thousands of dollars on a $10 ticket. You know what I mean? So that's the allure. And I know this is now, I'm just like admitting how sick it is. So you that's what we love.
You'd rather, but I mean, sometimes you'll hit me up and you're like, hey, do you really like something nice?
Right.
What do you consider yourself? Every 2 weeks you go to the ponies?
It depends. You know, I used to, in Chicago, the bar I'd go to was an OTB.
Okay.
So I would play a lot more then. I like to go, I love to go to the horse track, you know. But I try to stay away from it if I'm not, because like you, it's your job and you have to really focus. You can't come in and out of horse racing, in my mind.
No, 100%.
Gambling, because then you'll just lose money every time.
No, it's just like watching players. You know, if you play any kind or you gamble at all, you're reading teams, you're reading players, you know. I mean, that's the bottom line. And it's the same with horses. They go in and out of form. It's more human-like than you thought. The more that I've worked around now the game, the tendencies pretty much the same, and you end up knowing which horses are which horses. So, I enjoy it. I never thought, to be honest, to answer your question, never thought I'd be just, you know, doing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've blown up a little bit, and it's been a good experience, man. And it's been taking me to places like Saratoga. I've gone to Dubai, Royal Ascot, a lot of different places, man. It's been pretty cool.
That's just a wild story that you went from thinking you were going to be a jockey maybe to then being a catcher and like a really good catcher.
Four-time All-Star. Yeah, to then.
That's a pretty big career change.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I love watching TVG when you're on because you bring that extra electricity they need. That's my only thing with TVG is sometimes they have guys who are a little bit more, they don't bring as much fire. Horse racing is like all about, like, you know, the crazy characters, and
you walk
into an OTB and there's just, everyone's got a story.
Hammer and Hank.
And they're all just crazy, and that's part of the horse racing. I love it. It's partially betting and those long shots we're talking about, but it's also just go to a track on like on a Tuesday, and the characters there are just one of a kind.
Oh, that's...
You know what I mean?
All you need to do is go to your local racetrack and go to like to the bottom basement or whatever and just hang out with the locals.
Yeah, just hang out. Right. The guys are betting 50 cents on every bet. They have slips that are like,
priceless.
Sky high. 1,000 bets in one day. They're betting 50-cent exotics all over the place on every race.
It's true.
Yeah.
You got nail on head.
Yeah.
It will humble you.
Yes.
Do you know our friend Randy Moss?
Yes, I know Randy very well.
White Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking about the black one.
Oh, do you know the black one?
I met him one time, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Same, the white Randy Moss met the black Randy Moss once, too.
At a racetrack.
The white Randy Moss writes his own pace figures. He's sharp.
Yeah, he's very sharp.
He's very sharp.
He's very sharp.
Yeah.
I have one final question for you. Do you respect the media?
Yes, I do.
I don't think you're being honest with me right now, which is disrespect to the media, because we are media.
What do you think I am now?
Okay, but I'm just saying, do you respect the media?
Yes, I do.
Are you sure?
Yeah, here's the thing, and I
here we go.
Did you ever have a press conference announcing that you were straight, like Piazza did?
Wow, no, I didn't.
Sounds like you don't respect the media.
Did you ever?
I didn't need one.
Did you ever say that you're not talking to the media?
Say that again.
Do you ever like, I'm not talking to the media, I'm not giving you guys any interviews anymore?
I want to boycott it maybe a couple times.
Mm.
You know what I did one time? I did hang over in my locker. I have strep throat, and I played that night.
You don't respect the media.
Sounds a little bit like disrespect.
No, here's what I don't respect. And I said this the other day, is what Major League Baseball has an issue in, one, all sports have an issue in, two, is that they're letting a lot of people in the clubhouses that shouldn't be in the clubhouses.
Bloggers.
Bloggers, yeah.
Just say it. Just say the B word.
Just in. They're letting guys in there that have no fucking clue.
Just say the B word.
Fanboys.
No.
You know what you are? You're dog whistling right now.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, he's dog whistling the fanboys. Yeah.
Hold on.
A bunch of guys never played the game, cheering in the press box.
Here it is. Now, I don't need somebody asking me the same question 48 times. You ask me the question, you ask me the question. Now, you're going to come up there with your iPhone, and you're going to shove it in my face and ask me the same question that the beat writer asked me that I'm more familiar with, and then this kid comes up to me. I don't respect those guys until they give me the time. They give me the respect back. My other issue I always used to have is I never had respect for media. I had respect for media. I used to get pissed at my teammates because if you're going to be a leader in a locker room, you need to handle your shit. Every manager I ever had, old school manager, you don't want a manager coming in and telling you guys to shut up, sit down, do this, do that. You want a manager staying away. His job is to manage. I mean, you want your manager to let your hitting coach be the hitting coach, pitching coach. That guy that takes over everything, like the Jerry Jones, it doesn't work. It just does not work. The owner in the locker room does not work. So, I mean, to me, when the media comes in the locker room, get your questions, get out. I'll answer them to a T. But I used to disrespect the media was when they ask me questions about somebody else because they didn't want to answer their questions. Mm. And because they knew I'd answer them. And how I would answer them, go ask fucking him.
Right, right. That's fair.
Did you hate Vin Scully? Is that what you're getting at here?
Vin was the best, man.
Yeah.
I'm still pissed I didn't get to hear him the last 2 years, but that whole debacle.
Actually, I have one final question. Headline grab. Tell us one person who did steroids that we wouldn't expect. Just throw someone under the bus. Just do it. Just throw them under the bus.
Can't do that. But I'll tell you one thing.
Brady Anderson.
Jose Canseco.
Canseco blew off his finger, dude. That guy is actually... Have you ever met Jose?
No.
Actually fucking funny, dude.
Oh, are you friends with Lenny Dykstra?
I know Lenny a little bit. Actually, I'm better friends with his son.
Yeah. Do you want to give him a call?
Yeah, just give Lenny a call.
Give Lenny a call? Also, we're trying to hang out with Jose in Las Vegas, but he's not responding to my emails. You don't have his better email, do you?
No, I don't. It's a good question.
Jose Melendez is the one that he gave me.
Jose Melendez?
Yeah.
So you know Lenny's my guy.
Yeah, Lenny's my guy too.
He's like, he was him and Paul Molitor, but obviously Doc Gooden was when we were 16, but.
It's a bit early to be calling Lenny.
Yeah, he's probably not up yet. It's too bad.
Let's reunite some old friends here.
Yeah. I will try and
get the gang back together.
You want me to call Lee Mazzilli?
We'll call Lenny after. We're going to call him after the show. All right, Paul LaDuca. Thank you so much. I actually, like I said, you're so close to us, and we've been friends for so long. Like, and Bart, you've been have a relationship with Barstool for so long. I think we all like kind of take for granted that you played in Major League Baseball and were really good. So I'm happy we got to hear some stories because, like, when we have you on and stuff, it's more just us busting balls, which I love. Love busting balls.
No,
because you're usually wrong. You're most of the time wrong.
Yeah, but that's part of it. No.
Yeah. I mean, you're actually always wrong. But I'm always right. You're always wrong.
No, to be honest with you, I've been pretty right on most of the shows.
I've been the right one. You've been wrong.
You still got mad at me because I did the sweep in the Cubs when I swept the floor. You're still mad at me.
No, we had our own. There was like 6 months where we didn't
talk. And that's the other thing. Listen, you got to believe.
What?
You guys couldn't have thought of another slogan?
Who did that?
What do you mean? The Mets have had that for a zillion years.
Yeah, because 69 you Mets. Stole that.
You guys stole it from the Mets.
You stole it.
PFT no, put that on no, a poster to troll me.
You stole it.
He no, put that I, on I a poster. That wasn't our saying.
No, I put it on the poster because everyone was saying it.
You guys
it was all put over, that on it was the poster all over to troll the Cubs me. Dugout.
He doesn't realize.
The clubhouse was saying it every day.
What's going to happen?
You got to believe.
What's going to happen when they finish second?
How many Tommy Johns for the Mets this year?
What do you mean? How many Tommy Johns for you? Wade Davis. That's all you need to worry about,
Listen,
kid.
Wade Davis is better than Aroldis Chapman if he can stay healthy. And I know that's a big if.
If.
That's a large if. But you even admitted this. Wade Davis is if he can stay healthy, he is probably the best closer in baseball.
He's good.
Yeah.
The thing about Wade Davis that makes him great is that a lot of people are worried about Chapman leaving because he shuts down all the left-handed games. He shuts everything down, but... You know, if he's healthy, that cut fastball, he kills lefties, Wade Davis.
Yeah.
So that's what's going to be key for them. I'm agreement with you on the upgrade. You lose Dexter Fowler.
That hurts a little.
Defensively, it's going to hurt you a little bit because Schwarber.
Jason Hayward covers up a lot of stuff in the outfield.
Come on, dude.
Yeah, Schwarber obviously has to play, but Dex, I think more than anything.
Dude, Jason Hayward, seriously.
What little I know with that with the Cubs clubhouse, you know, I don't want to Wilbon here. I'm friendly with a couple guys. I think Dexter Fowler was the like glue. I think he was the guy in that clubhouse that everyone loved. You know what I mean?
Worried a little bit?
No, he wasn't the leader. You know how clubhouse work. There's leaders, but then there's a guy that's everyone's friend.
Well, I got to play with Dexter just for spring training, and that's actually pretty good assessment. He's a ballsy guy,
yeah,
and doesn't give a shit. So when he actually went to Chicago, you got to understand too. Chicago, New York, L.A., different ball game. You know. When I played in Florida, you have four people in your locker after the game.
Right.
You play in those cities, you got 40.
Right.
So you got to be able to handle that too and be able to perform. So Dexter, I always thought, guys can do that. You know, guys like A.J. Burnett, they struggle a little bit when they came here to New York. When they're in Pittsburgh, they're solid. It's just different strokes for different folks, you know?
Did you ever play on a team where a player would bring their son into the clubhouse?
Yeah, that whole thing was a weird thing. I mean, we always welcomed it. Our issue was in batting practice, hey, let's keep them off the field because if guys are hitting lasers, we don't want a 5-year-old kid to get drilled by a ball. Mm-hmm. But like,
it's the only way they learn, though.
Give them a cup of greenies.
But before that,
pop them right back
up. Some juice.
We would let them, you know, do whatever. I mean, they wanted to. That was, you know, people always ask me, what's the one regret? You know, my daughter's 12 now. I wish she was like 10 or 11, 12 when I played, so she would have been able to experience it and been able to walk out on the field mm-hmm. and really cool. I used to watch like a lot of the family games and be a little bit jealous. So that blew me away. I mean, to me, you have to go with family first. I mean, you know, baseball
is God first, family second.
The problem is when baseball, you can't go home for shit. I mean, I didn't go to my dad's, you know, my mother passed away when I was a kid. My dad got remarried. I couldn't go to my dad's wedding. It's just, bottom line, it's death in the family. Right. That's the only time you go home or a pregnant wife. It's ruthless to a certain point. But listen, when you're making millions of dollars, you got to go home. You got to do certain stuff. So,
yeah. All right, Paul, you have to get on Barstool Radio right now. We appreciate, though, and voice of Pardon My Take, that we finally have revealed this. I feel like that we never publicly said it.
Yeah, want to re-record the intro right now?
Ready?
It's Pardon My Take presented by Barstool Sports.
Okay.
Yeah, yell it.
It's Pardon My Take.
Wait.
Don't. Barstool Sports.
Yeah, let's turn that down a little
bit. You got to take
the headphones off. Sports.
You got to do that one more time. You blew out the mic.
Barstool Sports. It's Barstool Sports. It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Love it.
That interview was brought to you by SeatGeek. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there's a simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. It's the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to your team's favorite games. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Whether you want to catch a baseball game, some playoff hockey, or basketball, SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for great value. I've got the app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere and I can get the seats that I want, and I always get the best value because SeatGeek gives every ticket a grade based on the value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. And it doesn't even end with sports. They've got plenty of concert, comedy, and theater tickets available too. And best of all, our listeners get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code TAKE today. That's promo code TAKE for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
All right, let's do some segments. First up, we have the Mets and Dildo Gate. So this is the most Mets story.
Well, I've been waiting for the gate suffix to come back for quite some time. We haven't had a good one in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And the most perfect way to bring it back is for it to be Dildo Gate.
Dildo Gate. So the Mets, if you missed it on Friday night, they tweeted a picture. They were telling their rookie, I think he's a rookie, TJ Rivera, who hit a home run, that he had like the king of the game or something. I don't know. You know how the locker rooms wear those stupid hats whenever they have a good game.
Yep.
Yeah. Not like football where they bring a lunch pail or they have a hard hat sledgehammer.
Is what we used to do back in high school.
But anyway, there was a big black dildo, not to bring race into it, a big black dildo behind him and pretty embarrassing for the Mets.
Yeah.
So their PR 101, they just suspended Matt Harvey for 3 games.
Well, yeah, we're not talking. Actually, their idea was if we suspend Matt Harvey, maybe people stop talking about the dildo.
Yes.
But instantly everybody was like, it was Matt's dildo.
Yes, it was Matt Harvey's dildo. But seriously, this was like a PR 101 in real time. I know that Matt Harvey is probably, he's a dickhead, and he's always been a dickhead, and it seems like he just missed the game on Saturday because mm-hmm. the Rangers lost in overtime, and he's a big New York Rangers fan.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked out perfectly because they suspended him, and now everyone's talking about Matt Harvey and not Dildogate.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so for the Mets, we live just down the street from you guys. If you want to send a contract to us to help you mm-hmm. out, we're here, we're in town, we'll do it. I've got some instant impact things for them. Number one, you just got to own the dildo.
Yeah.
You got to make it, it's our rally dildo now. Oh. It's like the rally monkey, right?
Yeah. And then rally dildo, then you have dildo night.
Yeah.
And first 10,000 in the door get a dildo.
There you go.
Yeah.
So all the
they
Long Island.
They fuck you coming and going.
Yeah. There you go. So just own it. Just make it your rally dildo. That's perfect. They've been looking for something to fill the hole left by Bartolo Colon.
Mm-hmm.
It's your Colon Destroyer.
Yes.
The dildo. And just kind of like give it a name.
Yeah.
Have it be your clubhouse mascot. Like what the Brewers had that dog, right?
Yeah.
What was the dog's name? Was it Hank?
Hank, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Hank died and they got another dog and pretended that he didn't die.
Mm-hmm. So just name the dildo and put it like in a trophy case because that's okay. The only thing you guys are putting in there.
I got a third one. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. and Mrs. Met, you know, those stupid mascots they have? They get a divorce publicly. They release it to the New York Post loves a back page splash.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Met was not satisfying Mrs. Met. That was her dildo.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mr. Met saw it and got insanely jealous.
Yes. And then play out the whole thing, get people talking about that and not talking about your shitty team.
Mm-hmm. That's actually less embarrassing than the on-the-field product.
By the way, the fly's back.
The fly's back. It's landing on your face. Watch out.
Right.
Did you get it? Did you kill it? It was in your hand and then it
left.
It
was in my hand.
It's a magic fly.
Okay. Let's keep going. Bad radio. The episode with the fly.
It's like that
people
that episode
are on the edge of their seats right now with this fly.
It's like that episode of Breaking Bad where there was a fly the whole time and it sucked and everybody hated it.
Yes.
It's going to be the exact opposite. Yeah. People are going to love this time.
This one, yeah. we have a spin zone. This is just a New York heavy show. Spin zone, Kristaps Porzingis. He tweeted and then deleted LA Clippers with 3 smiley faces emojis. On Friday night, and then he said he got hacked.
Hmm.
So a little spin zone there. And then he went even further to say he got hacked, and look, he doesn't even use that emoji. He tweeted his frequently used emojis,
mm-hmm.
which is always tells a lot about a man. If you saw, he's got a lot of love. He's got like the face with the 2 hearts in the eyes. He's got the
I killed it. It's a mosquito, and I killed the
finally,
shit out of it.
Finally. He's got the kitten. Ooh, yeah. It's not dead. Now it is.
Now
make it suffer. Okay. He's got the kitty with the 2 hearts in its eyes. Kristaps getting fucking.
I can't believe you're
wet.
Buying that. I can't believe you're.
No, I'm not buying it.
I've watched enough episodes of Law and Order to know that that's one of those details that the accused criminal throws in
mm-hmm.
to try to throw them off the real scent. But it's a detail that he could very easily fake.
Yep. Yeah.
Just by spending 5 minutes on his phone using other emojis.
Without a doubt.
So yeah, I'm not buying that. A good spin zone though, if you're a Knicks fan, and he was insinuating that maybe he was going to be traded to LA. At least the Clippers have a lot of really great assets that the Knicks can get back in a trade.
Mm.
So you've got that to look forward
yes.
to.
Yes. By the way, it's been a long-standing thing for this show, but we're going to repeat it every time that someone claims that I got hacked on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
If you want to say you got hacked, before you do that, just start tweeting out the craziest, most vile swastikas, dick pics.
Own it.
Just go insane. Do the weird links. Be like, when like Chipotle gets hacked and they're mm-hmm. and they're like,
ooh, the links to Charles Oakley's little cat lottery video game
yes,
that he tweets
yeah,
out. Yeah.
And then link to some like link to Anonymous. Be like, this account has been hacked by Anonymous.
Mm-hmm. Change your profile picture to the Guy Fox mask.
Yes. It's so easy to actually fake like you got hacked mm-hmm. instead of just saying, whoops, I got hacked. Because, most of the time when people get hacked, they tweet one thing really quickly and then delete it.
Yeah, one thing that has everything to do with their profession in a very cryptic manner.
And a very specific to what they're doing right now
yes.
and how upset they are at their current team.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what
everyone
does.
Another good spin zone for Knicks fans, if you're going to be getting any players from the Clippers back, they don't have player. They don't have any players that are talented enough to underachieve.
Yes.
So total change of pace for you guys.
Right. And finally, Kristaps, like, you realize that you have the easiest get out here of all time. Pull the Rafi Palmeiro, Sammy Sosa. You just don't speak English. Like, you can just go up in front of someone and bring a translator with you, mm-hmm. and explain how you got hacked, but with a translator, and no one's going to say anything.
Or here's the thing. Your keyboard, I don't know if you guys have ever seen like a fucked up foreign keyboard before that's different from the normal English one.
Uh-huh.
Just say that you were not used to typing on an American keyboard.
Right.
And you were trying to say, like, I'm flying to LA, and on this keyboard, all the plane emojis are actually smiley face ones, and the word for, like, flight to LA is just Clippers.
Right.
And so it's just a matter of hitting the wrong buttons because you're used to the muscle memory.
Either way, we're going to have Blake Griffin on the show for Wednesday, so we'll ask him about this whole thing.
We'll get to the bottom of it.
We have an embrace debate that you wanted to spring on us.
Yes. So this happened before the show as we were getting ready for it, because Big Cat had the idea that maybe some other people on the show might want to take John Daly, mm-hmm. for their Who's Back of the Week.
Yeah.
Turns out Hank had it too. So Big Cat proposed that they solve it using a game of rock, paper, scissors. Now, that sounds totally reasonable, but here's the thing. Big Cat calls it rocks, paper, scissors.
I mean, I add S's to a lot of
and
things.
And I heard you say it like two or three times.
Yeah.
So embrace debate. Is it rock or rocks, paper, scissors?
I think I'm just stupid and I add S to a lot of things.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think it's... I mean, what do you think?
It's rock, paper, scissors.
Rock, because rocks, plural, could defeat paper and scissors.
Right.
And
but
scissors,
I just say, but I add S's to everything.
Okay.
Like, I just do it. I don't know. It's just like my brain just is stupid like that. You know what I mean? Like, I can't speak well.
Well, you know,
can't write well. It's a good thing I have this profession where I speak and write for a living.
You know that more of something is better than one of something.
Correct.
So
that's why.
Better safe than sorry. Pluralize everything.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm a more guy.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm always asking for more. Like, give me seconds.
I thought we were going to get into really hot embrace debate of whether it was rock or rocks.
No, so that's kind of disappointing. The debate is literally, I'm stupid. So I'm sure some people probably do the same thing. I don't know. I'm thinking of other things I had asked to, but I had asked to a lot of stuff. So I'll think of more.
Desserts.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, why not? I want some desserts. You're just desserts.
Yep.
we have a King Stay Kings for Darren Revelle. Revelle has come to the defense of LaVar Ball and said that the $495 sneakers is the perfect price because it got the buzz going,
mm-hmm.
and also because it makes him more money. Like, Revelle basically explained to us how money works.
Yeah, if you listen to the interview that Revelle did, it was like, well, if he's charging $495 for this shoe, it's actually good because he'll have to sell less of them than he would if the shoe was priced $195 to make the same amount of money.
Yes.
So it was vintage Revelle, and I think he also said, like, you can't buy this kind of free publicity, which is true. Because free publicity is actually free.
Correct. It is not all the way vintage Revelle, though, because he has the back of the little guy here. Revelle usually has the back of the big corporation, which is always so funny with his LaVar Ball stuff. Basically, people are like, like Under Armour and Nike were right to kick him out.
Uh-huh.
Like, who is actually white knighting for Under Armour and Nike like that?
Yeah, I would expect...
LaVar Ball is that polarizing that he has people being
Ball.
Like, you know what?
LaVar Ball.
Balls.
Yeah.
LaVar Balls. He has people white knighting for, like, being like, Nike, really, like, good job, Nike. Kick him out of your office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I agree with that, except for the fact that LaVar Ball is acting like more of a CEO of a multi-million dollar, even though
True.
He's not one yet.
True.
He's role-playing that so well that Revelle, he just knows, like, what he sees. He's like, yes, this guy, he owns a very profitable business. I like him.
By the way, we're trying to get LaVar Balls on this show.
Yeah.
I got his number and I texted him and he has not responded to us. Mm-hmm. So then my last text to him was, I thought you were a big baller. Turns out you're not, sad.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't.
Scrub.
He might not come on the show now. That was actually a real text I sent him.
You just call him a scrub and then he's like, wait, I need to go on the podcast to discuss because
right.
I need to prove that I'm actually not a scrub. So we talk about all the time how easily influenced we are by stupid things. I don't know if I'm of the mindset, though, that, like, more expensive... Yeah, I am. If something's more expensive, that means it's better, right?
Correct.
Like,
without a doubt.
Like Firefest tickets.
Yes.
That was the best concert of all time.
Yes, without a doubt.
$10,000.
Without a doubt. Ooh, should we make our t-shirts more expensive?
Yes.
Okay.
Guess what? Pardon My Take t-shirts, on sale right now, they were $5. When before I started saying this sentence, they were $5. Guess what? They're up to $28 now. So ooh. Go to barstoolsports.com/PMT. We've got a bunch of great gear in the store. No matter if you want people to know if Joe Flacco is a leader, show people that you're sad about your recently deceased gambling goldfish that Hank killed, or just show off you're an award-winning listener, hop on over to barstoolsports.com/PMT for our super expensive. Yeah, here's
you
the thing.
You know what? They are. You know guys, what? They you can't afford it. No, they can't afford
ballers.
It. No.
You're not baller enough.
You guys are scrubs. Sorry. Scrubs. You know what? Just forget it. It don't even worry about going to Barstool Sports. What is it? Barstool.com/PMT?
I mean, it doesn't matter, but what it's barstoolsports.com/PMT.
Barstoolsports.com/PMT. So remember that, barstoolsports.com/PMT. Now erase that from your memory because you can't afford anything we sell.
Nope.
Sorry, scrub. all right, we have, because it's Sunday night, we have our friend Marlins Man is on national television, so we called him. This one was a good call. Let's do it. Hey, Marlins Man, are we on TV right now?
Absolutely on TV live right
Hell
now.
Hell yes.
Can you give us a wave?
Right now, look at the screen. I see the red lights
can you do the Macarena?
So I don't know how to do that. I can dab for you. Hold on.
Dab it out.
Can you do a little
I heard the pitch at the mid. I don't know what happened.
Just do like the hip shake from Macarena, the aight part. Yeah.
One macarena, two macarena,
macarena. Hey, Macarena.
All right.
We just did it.
All right.
Hey, Marlins Man.
Everybody is asking for you. You're really like a big, I'm telling you, you're really going to go, we miss Big Cat. He left Chicago and moved to New York.
I know. All my Barstool believers out there. Hey, quick question. Quick question. We saw you tweet the line, the famous line. Do you think that maybe has taken away a little of the prestige of it? Because that's a big thing, the line. You know, all the people who want to get pictures.
Yeah, the line was huge here last night. I was the very last person to leave the stadium. They turned out the lights an hour later, and we probably would, I don't know, maybe a couple thousand people, not kidding. And then wow. We went outside to the bus. Some of the Yankees players came over and wanted pictures, too, by their bus.
Yes.
So that was a lot of fun.
There yes. you go. I love it.
Yes. Hey, I'm going to be in New York Saturday and Sunday for the Astros and the Yankees.
Oh, boy. Well, hey, Chicago loves you.
Actually, I'm going to New York tomorrow.
Oh.
For the Mets Giants. Ooh. I'm going to New York for 2 days for the Mets Giants. Then I go home to Miami for the ESPN Wednesday Night Baseball in Miami, and I'm bringing the girls again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the ladies.
What girls are you bringing?
Girls. Ooh. And then on Sunday, I'll be back in New York again.
I love it. Okay. Did you bring any girls tonight?
Everybody's asking me, where's Marla's woman, too?
All right, well, we'll link up with you in the next week or so.
Okay.
Chicago loves you.
If you want to go to the Mets games Monday,
probably
Tuesday,
not. Probably
this
not.
Week, let me know. I know okay. The Yankees are Saturday, Sunday, right?
All right, hey, one more dab. Leave us out with a dab.
Okay, here we go. Right, dab. Right now, yes. Dab, right now, everybody. The whole third row is dabbing.
Yes.
You got it? Look at my Twitter. I got new Barstool believers. You'll see why.
All right. We'll see you soon.
The cat. All right.
All right. Okay.
For
later.
The troops.
Okay. For the troops. All right, let's wrap it up. The Macarena, we're going to bring the Macarena back.
Mm-hmm.
Brought the bad dab back, going to bring the Macarena back.
When we were discussing it before the call, we were like, what can we have him do? Can we have Marlins Man do the Dougie this time or the Bernie? No chance that Marlins Man is familiar with either of those two dances. But he's just getting caught up to like 1991 pop music probably.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure he knows the Macarena.
Yes. Let's do, you have a drunk idea for us.
Yeah, I think we need to rename the segment because I don't get drunk that much anymore.
Yeah.
I was napping in and out on my couch.
That
on
works.
Friday night.
That works.
That's what happens on Friday night. I go home from work and I fall asleep and then I wake up and I'm too tired from the nap to go out.
Mm-hmm.
So on Friday I was thinking, there was something that came on the TV and it was like a teenage character keeping a diary.
Okay.
And I was like, why the fuck do people write books of their own secrets that just sit out there waiting for other people to discover?
Yes.
Did you guys keep a diary?
No. Not a chick.
Do you know anyone that kept a diary?
Chicks.
Why do they do that?
Because they
what's the benefit
look.
To like what's is there any benefit to getting
okay,
your feelings
you want
out?
Me explain it to yeah. you because chicks keep a diary so then they can talk about the crush they have and then hopefully, like, Joey finds it in algebra class, third period, and is like, oh, Becky actually does love me. And then they go to prom together, and happily ever after, boom, that's a, like, $40 million movie you just made.
Okay, just because they found... And then the girl goes, oh, I'm so embarrassed. No, no, but well, she's not embarrassed. She's not embarrassed at all. This is her big plan.
I should have backed up. Becky is kind of a loser. She has, like, glasses on. She looks ugly.
She's got
and then,
braces now.
Yeah, and then Joey, like, takes the glasses off. Joey's the jock.
He's a
like,
lacrosse
wow,
player,
I never knew you loved me. And then, boom, happily ever after. That's actually a $60 million movie.
Okay, so that's why girls keep diaries.
Yeah, so what's your drunk idea?
That was my whole thing. Like,
that was it? It
should have been an explain it to PFT.
Yeah.
That's just, like, why our diaries?
Well, you know what? This is actually a perfect time to unleash our book idea. This is actually the genius idea that we've had. PFT and Hank, you're part of this now. You aren't, but now you are. We are going to sell a book called How to Win a Fist Fight, and it's just inside the book. It's carved out, and it's just a knife.
Mm-hmm. It's like that book from Shawshank that yeah. we talked about the other day.
How
it's
smart is that?
Out.
Yeah. It's just a fucking like really sharp knife. It's like, hey, step one, take this knife out. Step two, stab the guy in the face. Mm-hmm. Step three, you won your fist
fight. We'll throw a couple of Bible passages in there, too. That way, if you die in the fight, you go to heaven, you're the actual winner.
Tell me that doesn't sell.
It sells.
That sells. Mm-hmm. How to Survive a Fist Fight by PFT, Big Cat, and Hank.
Yeah.
It's just a really fucking sharp knife.
Epilogue, first aid bandages.
Yeah. See, and then we'll do a new edition of it. We'll re-release it. How to Beat the Guy Who Beat You in the Fist Fight, and it's just a gun.
Yeah, volume two, gun.
It's a gun.
Volume two, tell your opponent to buy that first book
and
then come to a fight.
Meet you at the flagpole at noon.
And you've got the gun.
Boom. Yeah. We just sold.
Dude, this series can keep going on. As long as science keeps developing more advanced weapons,
right.
We can keep selling fucking books.
Yeah, New York Times bestseller, here we come. Over and over and over. That's bank. All right, that's our show. We will see you on Wednesday. Blake Griffin. Coming back, we're going to talk everything with him. We're going to talk about his injury, how he's tougher than hockey players.
How he's going to go to Oklahoma City, his hometown, in free agency.
Or is he going to court Kristaps and maybe kidnap him like he did DeAndre Jordan? And that will be our show on Wednesday. We're looking forward to it. We'll see you then.
Love you guys.
1, 2, 3, 4.